Hi guys, welcome back to the To All the People podcast. I have none other than Bahija with me today. Did I say it right?
You did say it right. You guys, I was training her how to say my name right before this.
But I'm saying it right, Bahija.
Bahija? Yeah, Bahija's fine.
But how do you want me to pronounce it?
Well, it's Bahija.
So I'm Bahija?
Bahija.
Bahija.
Yeah. I'm Bahija. Like, hey guys, my name is Bahija.
I wasn't saying it wrong, was I?
It's okay. Honestly, though, I've given up. I'm like, Bahija, you can say it Bahija. You can
Bahija. Say it Bahija.
Yeah.
Bahija.
Yeah.
Bahija.
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 Yeah.
Yay. Okay. No, I'm going to literally start the podcast just like that.
Now everybody knows. It's not Bahija. I don't know who that man is. I'm kidding.
Honestly, we have a celebrity in the building today.
I am so happy to be here. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan too. And here's the thing. Like, I don't admire a lot of people and I don't look up to a lot of people and I don't feel inspired by a lot of people, but I do feel inspired by you.
Oh my goodness. That's literally how I feel about you.
I'm
not even joking. Guys, I don't think you guys understand. Like, I don't know when I found Janelle on TikTok, but she's like one of the only people that I actually kept up with because I was just so inspired by everything that you're doing. And I'm like, wow, like just to see you build something publicly.
Thank
has
you.
Made it like a lot. Like I found comfort in just like watching you build something publicly.
Yeah.
As I'm building something publicly because that can feel very like, it can feel very lonely because I feel like people always post talking about like, it seems like you have it together, but then like watching you grow and watching you build.
Yes. It's completely different too. And actually I feel like just being in the space too.
Literally.
But you've been doing such a great job too.
Thank you.
Like for real. I also just feel like you're in your own lane.
I feel that way about myself too. I'm like,
no, I love that though. Like I like in the best way possible. Like I genuinely feel like you are in your own lane.
Period. I love that. I love hearing that from outside. Like I love hearing how people see me.
Yes.
And yeah, I love that. I'll stay in my lane because some people don't know how to stay in their lane, but I'll stay in my lane.
They don't know how to stay in their lane, and they also don't really know. They also don't have an identity.
There you go.
We're about to start.
I feel it.
Honestly. So I want you to just tell us like what is it that you do and everything.
So I am a content creator. I create content and I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on a mission. I'll let y'all know what my mission is. I'm on a mission to help the girls wake up to their potential. I think that seeing myself become the person that mm-hmm. I am today in such a short amount of time, and I'm not joking when I say I do not recognize the girl that I used to be, and seeing my potential come to life,
yeah,
it makes me realize, like, dang, if I could have done it, anyone else could do it. And I really just want to see how people can grow into themselves the way that I did, because I'm like, damn, like I'm really this person that I am today when just a few years ago I was completely different and I didn't have any direction in life. And so I'm like, if I can inspire people to learn about themselves, to learn themselves deeper, they can really learn to love themselves. They can really learn to just like grow into themselves and recognize how much greatness is within them.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm on a mission to do.
I feel like you're doing that too.
Love that. I love that.
It's so funny because like I feel like also everybody that's watching this, I guarantee there's been a couple of times where like you probably have been on social media and you're scrolling and she's popped up.
That's crazy.
I'm so serious.
That's crazy to think about.
I honestly want to talk more about, because you said there was a period where like you didn't know what was going on or what was going to happen. Like, how were you able to like kind of form your own identity, especially at such like a young age in a way?
Yeah.
How did that identity come about?
I think, I don't even know. When I think back on my journey, I'm like, dang, this all had to be divinely guided, because I think I just woke up and didn't know who I was. Like, I was, everything else was kind of falling apart. So the identity that I thought I had and I was falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I was losing people, I was losing friends, I was losing interest in the things that I normally liked. And there was this time where I didn't know who I was. And I felt very, like, God really made me, like, alone. Like, I was alone. Like, he really put me through it. And I'm really grateful for that, because in that period of time, I really had the ability to look at myself and say, what the heck? Like, who am I? What is going on? Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? And I always tell this story literally on my YouTube, but I went on a trip, and this was the hardest year of my life in many ways. It was the year that things were just falling apart. Like, genuinely, and I don't know how else to explain it other than that. I didn't know who I was. I was losing people in my life. And so I ended up going on this trip to New York. And on that trip, I was walking past Good Morning America. And as I was walking, I was like, I was just looking at Good Morning America. I was like, dang, I could really be on Good Morning America if I wanted to. Like, I really could do that if I wanted to. And I didn't know why, but I was like, and then as I was walking, I was like, I really got myself to where I am. Like, I really held myself accountable for the first time, because before it was like, because of this person, because of this situation, I am this way, or my life is going in this direction. But I was like, you can pull yourself out of those relationships. You can pull yourself out of these situations, and you brought yourself here where you are, and you can get yourself to where you want to be. And that was really like this moment where I just, well, I don't know if it was the New York air or what it was, but I was like, Abeja, you really have to do something about this. So I went home and I really just wrote down. I was like, okay, I'm tired of being this. This is who I want to be. And at that time, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was really taking the first step to reprogramming my mind to like changing my identity from what I thought it was to what I could be and what I wanted to be and where I wanted to go. And it was as simple as I just want to be happier. Like, that was my goal. Like, I really just want to feel better. Like, I don't want to get up every morning and I don't want to be crying every day. Like, I really want it to feel better. And that was my first step. And I think even now, a lot of people, they're like, well, I don't know how I'm going to get here, or I don't know how I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. My first steps was making my bed or cleaning my room, or like
simple things, small things. Yeah.
That's what it was. And so I'm glad that I kind of have all of my journals and all those things to look back on, because I'm like, you guys, look, it was this simple. And I'm very comfortable sharing that. So I'll literally post like pictures of my journal entries. And yeah, that's really how it started, was everything had to fall apart. My whole identity had to fall apart. To build this new, or figure it out, like figuring it out. And I don't think that, I feel like I'm very strong in who I am now, but I don't know.
Honestly, I'm going to have to title this, Your Identity Has to Fall Apart in Order to Find Yourself.
Period. That's the one.
No,
that's
honestly, I feel like right now in life, I'm a little older than you, right? You know,
not that much,
but you know what? I feel like age doesn't like define really anything. You know what I mean? And I it feels good to say that, like, I can look up to someone that is like younger than me and everything too, even when it comes to relationships. And I've talked about this a lot on my podcast, because I don't want to say I'm naive to people. I'm also just I can be very forgiving, but also on top of that, I think sometimes like I can give more in my relationships than people are giving to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going through this season right now, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are, where it's very difficult for me, because relationships are falling apart. And it's so hard trying not to blame yourself, even when you know you haven't done anything wrong. So what advice would you give to that? Like, whenever your relationships were falling apart, were they just falling apart, or was it because of something that happened or something that you had did, or was it just one of those things, or it was just kind of out of nowhere? I've been feeling very blindsided lately.
Yeah, I'd say it was kind of a mixture of both, because I think I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of different, like, relationships, and it wasn't like, it was just, every single one was so different, and I wasn't expecting it to happen, but there's somewhere like I knew, okay, I need to get out of this. Like, I need to leave this person alone because it's just not serving me. And like, I think other ones, it was just like petty things would happen, and I was like, dang. And it just, there was a one by one shedding, like even family members that I lost because in that period of time. And like, now looking back, I'm like, wow, they really would have held me back if I stayed in that relationship. And now I can see how that benefited me. Whereas before, it was kind of like, I don't think I ever blamed myself, but I was like, dang, like, why is this all happening like right now? And like, it was something. It was really hard, honestly. Now revisiting it, I don't think I revisited it in a while, but
no, it's really hard to process, because sometimes it's back to back. And I was talking to my manager about like just some stuff that happened, and she was just saying, like, she said to me, like, Janelle, like, a couple of years ago I lost all of my friends.
that's, I feel like that's the first step.
I haven't like lost all of my friends. Yeah. Like I still have like my good, like mm-hmm. friends, like people I know are going to be here. I feel like I found my tribe, but in that I've lost a lot of good friends yeah. too. And it won't even be any situation where it wasn't like a buildup of things. It wasn't a bunch of things. Like, it was that one thing.
Yeah.
And you realize they've resented me this entire time. And then the moment that I had a season in my life that wasn't good where I couldn't benefit them yeah. is the moment they kind of chose to put me down, let me go, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's even like friendships where some people, I saw this quote and it was basically saying like, if your friend gets mad at you for like not talking to them or they reach out to you, it's because they've been doing something sneaky behind your back.
Yeah. Because then they'll think, oh my goodness, what are all the things that I've done to her?
For her to not talk yeah, when sometimes it has nothing to do with you. It's just your friend is going through a season in life. Mm-hmm. And like what I mean by season is like, we all have them. They come. Like, sometimes you're going through a very difficult time and life feels very, very chaotic. Mm-hmm. So it's just been interesting to see because it's like friendships are ending that shouldn't have ended.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'm thinking in my mind. I'm like, wow, like, this is kind of crazy. This yeah. is blindsided. Like, I was this, I was that. I was showing up in this way for you and vice versa. Like, I didn't even know that I was triggering you. And then when I actually look back, I journal a lot. So I will write everything down and I'm very, very self-aware. And sometimes I'm almost too self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
That self-awareness can make it hard for me to be in the moment.
I get it. Honestly, I get it. First of all, if y'all are journaling, y'all need to get to journaling. Cause
journaling, no facts.
Journaling is, it will tell you everything you need to know. Like it'll bring up everything to the surface. But friendships, man,
it's the next, like you said, it's the next step before that thing. It's the next step. Losing it, losing your identity a little bit, and that is the next step.
Mm-hmm. And I was literally just talking about this recently too, about how like when things happen that are considered problems that you normally feel like, oh, my life is falling apart or this thing happened to me, like when things like that happen, it is an opportunity. There's opportunities within everything, I feel like. And so even when you're going through a hard time, when you're able to have like a more positive attitude and you kind of step back and you're like, okay, well, what, even if you can't see the blessing in it, because sometimes you can't see the blessing in something, you can't see the opportunities in something.
Yeah.
But if you continue having a positive mental attitude, you can grow from that and you can move on from it. But if you're like constantly dwelling in that, it'll just keep you back. And if you're like, like observant of yourself, you'll realize like, wow, I've been holding myself back from this and this and that because of this situation. And so a lot of that happens to a lot of us subconsciously. Like we don't really realize that that's happening, but then that happens to us. And it's like, wow, we've spent the last 2 weeks like hyperfixating on this one problem.
No, it's been me hyperfixating on one problem for like 2 months now.
No, but it'd be like that.
It's like hard like though. Like
it really
is. It's very difficult because it's like, I am not like a super pressed person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am someone, like, this is how I know myself well enough that I am capable of being a very pressed person.
Yeah.
I have to learn how to turn my vision elsewhere, and I have to learn how to just shut it off.
Yeah.
So whenever something, like, kind of, like, implodes my life or comes into it, it's very difficult for me to, like, shut off and just not dwell on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Really, it is. And I think I say that like it's very easy, but it's not. It's not that easy, but it's just constantly reminding yourself. Like you have to constantly and actively remind yourself to just continue focusing on whatever it is. Like continuing to build something because it could really paralyze you from doing that. And so like that reminder and being gentle with yourself and allowing yourself to feel the emotions rather than telling yourself, no, I shouldn't feel this way. I should be more positive. You know what I mean? It's sometimes having a positive mental attitude is feeling the sadness, is feeling the anger, is feeling down. Like, you know what I mean? And letting yourself feel that and having grace towards yourself because we can be really hard on ourselves.
I was
especially when we're so thinking self-aware, we're like,
no, it's hard to. That's so funny you said grace, because I was literally about to just ask you, like, in what ways, like, how do you show grace to yourself?
Man, it's some conversations in my head. I'm like, Badger, you'll be fine. Like, I have to talk to myself like that, and it's so silly to say out loud,
but it helps.
Yeah, journaling it out. What I do, let me put you guys on game.
No, please do, because I'm so serious. Like, just like watching you grow, yeah. and you do it so. It just seems like it comes so natural to you. Like, you're very, like, you're even your aura. Like, honestly, like, if y'all were in the room right now with us, y'all would feel it. I'm not even just saying this. Like, your aura and your energy is just so beautiful, but it's also very calming. Like, you're very, very relaxed.
I'm going to go cry now.
No, it's refreshing to, so great. It's refreshing to be around. And, like, I feel like when I'm on the podcast and times when I bring people on, I learn something so different from so many people. And right now, like, what I'm learning is, like, let it go, Janelle. Like, bitch, let it go. Like, move on from it. Let it go. Yeah.
But what I do is I literally journal to myself back and forth. So I will write down, like, raw, like, how I'm feeling, whether I'm angry, whether yeah. I'm sad. And then I'll write back to myself as if I'm my highest self, like the highest version of myself, the best version of myself that I imagine, or like my future self. Maybe like you can even do like your 70-year-old self who's yeah. experienced life, because then that pulls you out of like your emotional shoes and it really makes you
like think that.
A little different. And it's like a lot of times it's like Behjah, just let it go. Like Behjah is not that deep. That's what it is a lot of times. It's so funny because the response is like, I know what I need to do and I know. And I'm the only one who knows exactly what I'm feeling and exactly what I'm going through and whether or not I'm doing the best I can or if I am, like, causing this issue. Like, I know that and only I know that. So I'll write to myself. I'll write down everything that I'm feeling and then I'll write back to myself and say, hey, Behjah, like, first of all, I'm so proud of you. Like, literally, I'm so proud of you.
I love that.
I'm so proud of you. And then I'll just, like, kind of, like, not solve the problem but just, like, respond in a way where it's, like, sometimes it's just like, you know exactly what you need to do. You just need to keep pushing.
No,
it helps a lot.
No, I love that. So you write, sometimes you'll write like your worries and everything and what's going on with you. And you'll go back and you'll like, once it's been out there, you go back and you write to yourself, like, I'm so proud of you. You got through this and everything.
That, or like, I'll write like right after, I write my worries and like all that yes. I'm going through, I'll write right after.
I love
like,
that
it's really interesting because it's like, you know exactly what you need to do, you know exactly how you can improve, you know exactly, only like really only you know. And it's almost like I know everything that
will you help. Need yeah no it's everything the truth
will help me and everything that I need. And so sometimes it's just letting yourself know. And like, even like, I feel like I've created a safe space within myself where I don't really judge myself, right? And so I feel like a lot of times I'm like really hard on myself, but then I can come back to myself and I can say, okay, I'm not going to judge you. Or I'll make a stupid mistake or I'll yeah. do something really silly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to judge you.
Let it go.
You did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to let it go. We're going to let it slide. And here's how we can move forward. Really, it's just that. It's just those conversations that I'm literally having with myself. And a lot of times it's that subconsciously paralyzes people from moving forward because they don't.
Yeah. And that's also like having kind of like an identity crisis in a way, because you can never fully, like, what you touched on is just so powerful, because everything that you need is already within yourself, you know.
I
and
really believe that.
like it's so spot on, like, and it's, I love that you said that, because I literally had a conversation with myself, and I'm all about divine timing. I literally had a conversation with myself like probably 2 days ago, where I literally said, okay, between the venting, between the therapy, between talking to like friends or talking to like my significant other about what's going on with me, there are no amount of words that can ever make me feel better unless it's coming from myself.
There you go.
Like that, it's such a real thing. Like, I be in therapy, girl, my therapist, she making money off my ass, because I will spill it out to her and I'll tell her what's going on with me, or I'll talk to Luke about what's going on to me. And, you know, even after expressing that, there's a little bit of relief, but it's like, okay, now how do I move on from this?
Exactly. Because I think even when we do have like conversations with people, we spend a lot more time with ourselves and in our own heads than we do in those conversations. So when those conversations are done, we're kind of like, okay, yeah, that felt good. But then you go back to like thinking about,
you're like alone and with your own thoughts.
You're always back to yourself. So that's why I'm like creating that home and like that safe space within myself. And it's funny because it's like, it's like, yes, I am talking to myself, but I'm also talking to God. And like, that's the only one that's with me constantly. So like, why seek it everywhere else? Like, I've done that before where I like was seeking that, like that elsewhere, like that safe space, that validation, someone to tell me, oh yeah, Vahja, you're right, elsewhere, or like everything will be okay. But then it just kind of fades. It just kind of goes away. But
it's like an artificial, like, kind of dopamine. Mm-hmm. It's not real.
And then it's like those things come back up, and it's like, okay, what now? So it's like just having those conversations with myself and knowing that God is hearing all those conversations that I'm having with myself, and that he's always there for me as well. So, and it's like, when the Most High is with you, like, what could go wrong? Like, that's really how I feel. Genuinely, that's how I feel.
Oh my gosh. No, you're so right. You're so spot on. And it's like, okay, so like, as I'm listening to this, it's like little light bulbs are like kind of going off in my head where I'm like, write this down, girl. Go home and do this. You need to have this conversation with God and stuff. And like, I think it's so real. Like, you cannot move throughout life without like God.
Yeah.
Or like belief. Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
It is. That faith will get you far. Because it's like, we're all constantly in the unknown. No matter how much we think we have control over things, it's like anything can happen that changes your entire world. So what do you do then? You know what I mean? It's like you just have to have faith that everything is working in your favor. Everything is going to work out. And just move through life like that. Because we are all in the unknown. No matter how much you think you have it together. Yeah, you have a secure job, but what can happen? Like COVID, I think COVID taught us that too. It's like your job can
really... Yeah. Yeah.
And now what?
And I feel like COVID was like the perfect example of like, who are you like when you're by yourself?
Exactly.
And who are you?
Nothing happened for me.
Yeah. And who, bro, literally. And who are you when you're not performing? And that's the thing. Like, it's just like getting to a point of like learning how to like not to perform for other people. Mm-hmm. That's when it starts crumbling.
Yeah.
That's when it starts falling apart, is like when you start realizing like, dang, like I'm doing all of this, like, being a performance driven person. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what anyone says as humans, we want to be like so bad. Like, you know, a little bit of validation feels good. Mm-hmm. Acknowledgement feels good, but it's like, to what degree?
It's a survival mechanism.
Yeah.
We need to feel like we have our people and our tribe. And like, so we want to feel liked by other people. But I think like when we become aware of that, we become conscious of that, it's like, Not everybody needs to like you anymore. Like, you're still okay. Like,
and it's boring.
Safe, and it's boring.
Sometimes we need a little plot.
No, literally. Oh my God, I'm dead. We need to add to the plot.
No, sometimes. No, seriously. Like, and I 1000% agree with that. Like, it's just like me growing up as a kid. Mm-hmm. I want to talk more about like how you were growing up as a kid, but me growing up as a kid, like, there was like a little bit of like a little I can explain it. Like, I was a very free child. Like, I was very free in a way. Like, I was deeply connected to myself as a kid, mm-hmm. almost more than I am as an adult.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe that's how it is for all of us.
Because you know, I was very connected to myself as a child. Yeah.
Go back to your childhood. What did you like to do? Who were you? And
literally. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like somewhere, like, when I got a little bit older, mm-hmm. a large part of me wanted to be liked. And it stemmed from the fact, I think it stemmed from like a lot of like just like little family dynamics and stuff where certain family members didn't like me. Like my aunt did not fuck with me as a kid. She did not. She did not. She did not like me. Yeah. And so it started so early for me, like what it felt like to not be liked. So I would try everything in my power to get people to like me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as I got older, I kept trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, I kept trying to like keep the peace. And it's just like, you know, it came to me. It was like, you know, you're meant to like disrupt rooms. Mm-hmm. You're meant to make people uncomfortable.
Yep.
And I don't know, as I'm getting older, the more I'm starting to realize, like, if you have a problem with me, that's a you thing.
It really is.
It really is. Especially if I'm not doing anything, especially if I'm sitting over here minding my business, mm-hmm. that's a you thing.
No, it really is. Because it's like, like you said, especially if you're not doing anything, that's just them projecting. Like, it's literally all in your head, especially if you don't really know this person or if you know, if this person has never actually done anything to you, that's just you. That just has to be you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I can't imagine just looking at someone and saying, oh, I don't like this person.
Especially a fan, like a child.
Especially, you know what's actually crazy that is you, when you said that, a lot of adults didn't like me. Like a lot of adults, it's so odd because a lot of adults, I was a child, they felt like they were in competition with me almost. And it's
Oh my gosh. Like, no, wow. I believe it though. And here's the thing, like this is what I always say.
Yeah.
People can see your light. Before you can. And a lot of times it's not the people that we want to see our light. Like I honestly feel like there's good and there's evil in this world.
There is.
And they both can see the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. It's about how they use it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's actually crazy that you said that. Looking back now, like my mom and I will literally die. Because I'll tell my mom, like, wow, like that grown woman was really
envious of you.
Yeah, with me as a child. I was like in fourth grade, fifth grade. That's crazy.
Do you know why?
I don't. And I don't even know if I care to. And it's funny because even when I see these people now, they have that same energy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
That's so weird.
I'm gonna keep pushing. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, honestly. Because they can't take anything from me, you know?
Ooh.
It's just, yeah, they can't take
anything.
It's so odd. And my mom tells me this all the time, y'all. I be talking about my mom a lot, but my mom tells me all the time, she's like, literally nobody can take what is meant for you. So whether they like you or not, whether they support you or not, you just got to keep pushing because they can never take it from you, no matter how hard they try.
Yeah.
Whatever, even now, like, I'm like, whatever is taken from me, it isn't taken from me by other people, but it's just God removing something from my life. And he'll replace it with something better. Yeah. So it's just kind of, yeah, that's how I think about it. I'm like,
yeah. Cares. Facts.
And if you're in challenge with a child, like, now as an adult, how can I be envious or jealous or be mean to a child?
Yeah.
That has to be something within them that needs.
It always is. Yeah. I always feel like when people are like are envious or angry or jealous, it's because like they hate how their life turned out. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I think about like my parental figure, like my, you know, mother and stuff. I love my mom, I do. But it's just there's so much regret there. I feel like so many women in my life, like most of the women in my family have so much deep regret because they didn't do the things that they were able to do. Mm-hmm. And I also think a lot of it had to do with circumstances and things like that. Yeah. So like when I hear about like the relationship that you and your mom have, like I think it's so powerful. Yeah. And it's so funny because like one of my best friend Cameron's, me and her have such great conversation because her and her mom are so, so close. Mm-hmm. I think one time we had a conversation and she was like, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, like, you know, with me talking about like my mom and stuff. I was like, no, please tell me more.
Yeah.
Because that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's honestly so admirable.
Yeah.
Like there's no greater love than like your mother.
Mm-hmm.
There's none. And like most of the people that listen to my podcast and stuff, they definitely come from like, not definitely, but a lot of them come from broken homes or like they have estranged relationships with like their parents, their dad or their mom or whatever. But it's just like, I like having people that come on that have healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen, it's funny because I feel like even within my own family, my family, I've seen really interesting relationships between parents and like family dynamics and stuff, and I'm really grateful, and all of that was really my mom and my dad
keeping
it together.
Like
it's a lot of work to keep it together, and I'm so grateful that they did that, and the fact that they did that makes me, I'm like, damn, like I really owe you guys a lot. I really do. And they really kept it together, they held it together. And even like just watching my parents grow up, because my mom had me really young. She was 20 years old when she had me.
Could you imagine having a baby at this age? I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm so serious.
Yes.
And that's how I like show her a lot of grace and compassion, because I'm like, wow, you really went through all that. You really kept it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they really holding a family together. It's like it takes a lot.
Yeah.
And like even the strong relationship that I have with my siblings was because my mom really kept it together.
Yeah.
She made sure that we were friends. She made sure that we hung out together and spent quality time together. And it's so funny because my mom, when someone has a nasty attitude, she'd be like, oh, I don't like this. She'll be like, you're ruining my good vibes. Like, I don't like when y'all aren't happy together. Like, we're just supposed to have good vibes right now. But she's really funny. And
I like that you were telling me, too, that your mom, like, prioritized you and your siblings being close.
Yeah, she really did.
I love that.
When we would fight, she would be like, nope, you guys are making up right now. And she would almost be disgusted when we fought.
Like, she'd be like, ugh.
Like, ugh, y'all make me sick. Get it together.
No, that's the type of mom that I want to be.
Literally the same type of mom I want to be. And even, like, she really protected us from bad influence. And, you know, moms are moms. Like, they know. Like, when I would bring a friend home and I'd be like, oh, this is my friend, my mom would be like, absolutely not. And then later it would really show.
Yeah.
It would really show. And I'm like, dang.
My mom would be right about it, too.
Yeah.
They just know.
They just know.
Exactly. They just know. They just know.
And so my mom did a really good job of, like, protecting us from things like that. And
I really
wouldn't be the person I am without her influence. And I really look up to her.
Mom, are you listening to this?
I'm listening to this, and she's going to be like, wow.
Wow, I did such a good job. She's going to be like fanning herself like, yeah, I did such a good job. I want to like talk more also about like your culture.
Mm, being Somali.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever said that on social media, really. I feel like people just know. But I don't think I've ever said, yeah, I'm Somali.
Really?
That's crazy. Actually, now that I think of it, that's crazy.
Like, so what would, because it's so crazy, because, like, you're from, first off, my girl came out here. She's visiting. I love it. She's in Dallas with me right now. Oh, and in-person interviews just hit so much better. But I think, like, the one thing that I wanted to talk to you about, too, is, like, when you told me that there was a huge Somalian culture in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Minnesota. I was like, that's honestly wild and insane. But another thing too, not wild and insane, but like I would have never thought that.
Yeah.
But another thing too, I feel like when I think about like who you are as a person, when I think about like the way that you've grown just like on social media, your influence, because we always talk about, oh, the influencers, like, no, actually having influence where you are like this great example and you set the tone, and on top of that you're pushing people to be their best self. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much of that would you like attribute that to like your upbringing as well as the culture as well as your religion?
Wow.
I know that's like a loaded question.
That's a loaded question, but it's a good one. All right. So I think when first my culture,
mm-hmm.
Somali people, I love being Somali. I love my people. I mm-hmm. really do. I love being in Minnesota because I feel very safe just being around people who look like me and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But being someone who's like vulnerable online and talking about self-improvement and development and like sharing my story, it was really scary because I don't see anybody else who's Somali.
That looks that. Like you. Yeah. Yep.
There's a very small, even if there are, I've never seen that. Like, I've never watched it. And so it's like, it was really scary. And I didn't really get a lot of support, especially from my community. In the beginning, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, you're just yapping. But they definitely did show up in numbers. And it's like just being strong in that. And I was like, I know I need to share this. Like, I know I need to talk about this. And it was just like a knowing that I needed to do it. And so I was like, this is what I want to talk about. This is who I am. Here's my story. And standing strong in that. And then people will eventually start to fold, like start to understand, start to hear you. You'll find your people. And so I just had to really stick through the hate in the beginning.
I understand what you're saying.
But I think I don't think we're very like touchy-feely people, like talking about emotions, talking about feelings just in general. And it's never conversations that I would have with my family even, or anybody would have, my friends, my Somali friends and stuff. So coming onto social media publicly, it was terrifying. And now seeing that a lot of girls are like, Bahja, like, it's thank you for what you do, because I haven't seen, like, literally I opened a DM this morning of some girl saying, I don't know if you're going to see this, but seeing a Muslim hijabi Somali girl doing what she's doing, it's very inspiring.
Powerful.
And I'm so glad that you did it. And now I'm starting to see more Muslim hijabis sit in their power as well and like start speaking and talking about these type of things, because everyone's story is so different. So I never feel like I feel like there's like people feel a little bit of competition when it's like another Somali person, because like, you know,
there can only be one. There can only be one. There's so much of that embedded history. Like, you know, like it's like there can only be one. There can only be like one black girl in the room. Mm-hmm. There can only be
But
the whole shebang.
Hearing different stories, I think mm-hmm. it's great, because my story is unique. Other people's stories are unique, and so like just hearing that, it's great. But it was definitely hard in the beginning. It was awkward. It was weird. Like. Yeah. I would break down crying in the bathroom, like literally after filming the video. Yeah, because I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want people to see this, but I'm like, a bunch of people have to see it. Or like there's times where it's also like,
I always talk about this, it's the fear of being seen.
That too.
And it's also the fear of being perceived. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you do such a great job of like, and I could take note from this too, is like you do a great job of separating. Like, you do a great job of separating the personal mm-hmm. from, like, your mission.
Yeah.
But people know how to hit, people know how to, them little nasty comments.
They know how to.
They know exactly what to say.
They know exactly what to say. Yeah, but I think that's, I don't know. I don't really know. I think growing up, too, I wasn't very. My parents are very Somali. Like,
yeah.
They're from Somalia. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I felt like I learned a lot about my culture and just, like, being around Somali people. I even went to a private school where I was around Muslims. Like, it was a private Islamic school from 4th to 8th grade. So that's, like, literally, like, the years
yeah.
of like growing up. You know what I mean? And so, like, being around Muslim people, being around Somali people, it was always nice, like, that community. And I don't know, I've never felt any different, which is so weird because I'm so different. Like, I'm a black Muslim woman, hijabi.
Yes, yes.
I'm so different. But then at the same time, I never felt like that would hold me back from what I wanted to do ever. You know what I mean? So, like, people
that,
would, like, think that, oh, because you're a black Muslim woman, it must be really, like.
No, but it also might also attribute to your faith.
Yeah.
Like, it comes back full circle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something right now, too. Like, you know, like. As a Christian, like someone mm-hmm. that grew up Christian,
yeah.
I said this to you in the car. Like the Islamic religion is very like appealing to me.
Yeah.
Like I think there's just so much beauty in it, and I also feel like it like, you know, for a while like there was a lot of like negativity about it, but it's just been really interesting because there's so many people that are converting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so many people that are converting.
And I honestly love to see it because I think even with, like, TikTok,
mm-hmm.
especially, Islam, mm-hmm. it's always been portrayed in a way where it was so negative and so.
Especially evil. Towards women. They mm-hmm. they would portray it that way, but it's something completely different.
It's not. Yeah, and so, like, seeing people talk about it and seeing non-Muslims, like, mm-hmm. read the Quran, it's so amazing because I'm like, wow, like, look at y'all seeing the beauty of Islam now.
No, seriously, it. Seriously.
I really do. Yeah, and even me, I did grow up Muslim. I went to Islamic school. My mom and my dad put me in every single, like, Islamic school thing, like, even Sunday schools, mm-hmm. as much as they could, any convention that they were having. We were posted, and I was always grateful for it. But you know, as a kid, it's like you don't really care.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like even like yeah. growing up, I was like, I don't really care.
Yeah,
and, like
yeah.
Now, like having that relationship with Islam, I had to rebuild that relationship with mm-hmm. it. I had to rediscover it because a lot of times, like, okay, but why do I have to cover up?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to pray 5 times a day? But understanding it deeper and learning about it, and it has honestly made my life a lot better. Wellness, self-improvement, which is something that I'm obsessed with learning about, it is all built into Islam. Like everything we're told to do, everything we're told not to do, benefits us in ways that we're only just discovering more and more of
yeah.
as, you know, even like science, you know,
yeah.
evolves and
yeah.
stuff. And so I think it's really beautiful that people are like seeing the beauty in it because it's been painted as evil for such a long time. And I don't think I ever felt ashamed of it. Even
yeah.
I think I was yeah. always just proud to be Muslim because I grew up around a lot of Muslims. All my friends were Muslims. So I didn't really feel any type of way. And even when I did become friends with non-Muslims, and my best friend, Aaliyah, she's a non-Muslim. And so just, like, branch. I was always that person. I was like, F it. Like, why do I have to hang around you guys all the time? Like, I
want
to go make other friends. And so when I did that, I didn't feel any different because we could always connect on something. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Something. And it's just, I just love people.
Not the something. Something.
I love it. I love it, honestly.
No, I really do love it. Like, I think I think for me, at least as I'm getting older too, mm-hmm. is like I'm like starting to understand things a lot better, like a lot more clearer. I also think there's so much beauty that comes with your religion, but also like the beauty of like the women too, mm-hmm. you know, and that's been something that me and Luke have talked about a lot about, you know, hopping over, you know what I'm saying? But
not hopping over.
But I want to ask you, how did you get over your fear of being seen? Yeah. Like, how did that come about? Because you said, like, you would mm-hmm. make a video and go cry in the back.
Yeah, literally cry. I'm like, God, no.
Like, what advice would you give to someone who's very afraid to post it or do it or show what their gift or their talent, or, like, what advice would you give?
I would say that regardless whether or not you post it or you don't post it, people are going to say things. But a lot of times people don't really care. Like, we think that people are watching everything that we're doing. We think that people care so much. But when you think about yourself, like, you're so in your own world.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, overwhelmed with everything else that is going mm-hmm. on in your life that you don't care what Bahja in Minnesota is doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you don't post your stuff, if you don't show your art, if you don't show, you know, whatever you have in your talent and your greatness, then you're going to miss out on your own potential. You're going to miss out on what you could build and what you could create, and still nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
The people that you think are going to care, they're still not going to care. They're going to be doing their own thing. And so it's like, you just got to get out your head. You just got to do it anyway and continue being consistent in it, because you'll find the people who support you. You'll find, you know, the opportunities, the doors will open. And once that starts to happen, then it's like, it's just, you know, you'll just keep going up.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're building that momentum. And trying new things or doing something that is outside of your comfort zone is always going to be really hard, because there is going to be that resistance that comes with change. And that resistance can be anxiety. It can be fear. It could be that little voice in your head telling you it's not going to work. And
yes,
that's just really our brains doing its job and keeping us safe. And so when you think about it, it's just like all that negative self-talk or all that negative,
mm-hmm.
that voice in your head that's telling you it's not going to work, or this person and that person is going to talk bad about you. It's just your brain keeping you from stepping outside of your comfort zone. But when you do that, it's like you'll really start to see who you could be and the things that could happen for you and be possible for you. So if you just keep letting what other people will think of you hold you back, then you'll just never know what you could become.
Yep. Dang.
And it's funny because people really won't care. Like,
you'll
really just like wake up one day and you'll be like, oh, wow, the past 10 years, what have I done with my life? But people still don't care about you. And if you go out and you do something great, they're not going to care either.
Yeah.
Like, they might look at you and say, oh, yeah, that person, I knew them once, but...
Very true.
That's all it is.
Very, very true. Also, like that, also, I feel like just getting yourself out of the freeze state is so important.
The freeze state?
Yes. Like,
the paralyzed. It's like,
yes, it's like you can get through your day, you can go to work, but like even the smallest task can just make you feel so exhausted and so tired.
Yeah.
And just like learning how to like bring up your energy, bring up your vibrations and stuff is so like, so important. Mm-hmm. But gotta get over that fear of being seen.
Yeah, no, literally. And even when it does, like, even with the whole being exhausted or bringing your vibrations up, that's just really being like, that's just like a little bit of self-care.
Yes.
You know, it's like little things. Like when I say I would write down, like, I don't know, like go for a walk.
And yes,
that would do a lot for me. And it is something that is helping me improve and be better. And acknowledging that one little thing that you do, acknowledging it can make such a huge impact on your mindset and the way that you view yourself.
Yes.
And your identity. And once that shifts to what you would like it to be, that's when you become like a magnet to everything, and everything that you want comes to you. All the opportunities come to you. So you really, all you have to focus on is keeping those vibrations up.
Yes.
It's those little things that you have to worry about. And yeah, so it's like, even me now, like, dang, I'm like, wow, like, even right now, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's just like, you just gotta keep moving.
Going, and just also learning that everything is a stepping stone up to
nothing
something else.
Be permanent.
At nothing.
Literally. You just gotta keep it pushing.
Pushing.
We overthink it. Like, we think that this is it. Like, this, it has to be this, if not nothing, and that's just not how it is.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's that free state.
Yeah.
It's just getting very comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to that statement where you said, like, the only person that can tell you who you are and what it is that you want is yourself. Mm-hmm. The outside opinions of other people can really distract you from your gift, distract you from your wants, and most importantly, like, put you, like, in a free state where you feel like you're not enough, mm-hmm. or your dreams are too out of reach.
Yeah. And I always tell myself, I'm like, if God has planned everything out for me already and everything that I could possibly, like, every single possible thing that I could be and do and become and every step that I can take, then it would be me who knows how to get there. Like, even if I'm not conscious of it right now, like, something in me knows how to get to that place that I want to be.
Ooh, that's faith.
Yeah.
That's called that, having faith.
That holds me down, man. It's just faith, really.
Do you have any final thoughts? I loved having you on.
I love it here too, dude.
I wish you could just...
I don't know how long that was. I feel like
we're gonna keep doing this.
No, literally.
We just need to have an entire season together.
I think so. Imagine.
No, right?
I can't. Final thoughts. I don't know, man.
Where can we follow you and everything?
Y'all can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is like so random though. It's like BAA. And that's like HJAAA.
Yes.
And my YouTube is Behjabdi. I have a series called Rewrite Your Story. So if you want to figure out your potential, find out what you can be, what you can do.
It's good.
You should check out.
And it's visual too. So it's like really nice too. You can watch it on YouTube. I'm going to also like link your IG and your YouTube down below. Yeah. This is good stuff, y'all. Like, I feel like there's so many people on social media that are preaching and talking, but they're not really saying anything. Like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you killing it.
Period. Oh my God, I love that. And it's just like sharing my own journey.
Yes.
It's like just being real and sharing my own journey. Because when I speak, I talk about my own journey, my mm-hmm. experience, what I learned along the way. So it's not like me just going...
Just talking out of nowhere. Yeah. You're not like on Reddit finding someone else's story.
Imagine.
No, because some people lie. They make up things. They do things. You know what I mean? But I absolutely loved having you on.
I love being here. Oh, and I love Dallas. We love Dallas.
Yeah, we need to get some more hijabi girls out here. You feel me?
Really do. I'm like, I feel very...
It's so crazy because I didn't even realize it until you were here. I was like, oh, shit.
No, look around, deadass.
No, like, because, like, I'll go places with Luke and I'll be the only black person in the room. Yeah. And he'll be like, dang, Janelle, you're the only one. I'll be like, I know, babe.
Not the only
but,
one.
But, like, you know, you don't really notice things until you're with someone. You're just like, this is why.
Literally.
You know?
Literally.
You know? But I loved having you on. Thank you so, so much for coming on. That is the To All the People podcast, guys. Be sure to tune in to our next week episode, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.